Good morning. Good morning. Welcome, everyone. Glad to see you. Glad to see so many out this morning. Boy, didn't quite know what to expect with the epidemic, COVID thing going on. Senior high school is out for a couple of weeks, and you know the same things that I know, but just be careful. We've had sick people on our list. We have several that are still hospitalized. Jim Kirker is in the VA, and about the same last we heard. He's on a ventilator, I believe. Martha Daniels' daughter is in Keesler on oxygen, not a ventilator, right? And her name is Lori. Pray for her. You know our Jim. We miss him. Thank you for your prayers for our daughter, Kim. She is much improved. Yesterday, she said it was the first day that she really felt good. She hasn't ran a fever for a couple of days, and so really thank you for your prayers. And she seems to be on the rebound. Let me back up to a few announcements that I do need to share with you. Don't forget Operation Christmas Child this month. If you picked up one of the cards to bring items, get those in before the end of this month. And the first Sunday of next month, we'll have a new set of cards out there for you to pick up. Tonight is our business meeting, 6 o'clock. The evening service will be our business meeting. Have some important business to take care of. Our nominating committee is ready for their annual report to be accepted, I believe. And then Ms. Barbara O'Neill asked if I would announce finance committee meeting next Sunday evening. At 5 o'clock, next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, Finance Committee meeting. Amazing that we're coming down to the end of the year, but we are winding down already. Any other announcements? Oh, one other announcement. We have suspended our Wednesday night programs for the next 2 weeks yet, at least. That was in response to the school's response to what they were facing, and we felt like, even though the elementary and middle schools are still going, that we needed to suspend all ages of our Wednesday night for a couple of weeks. In an abundance of caution, we're just not picking kids up. So many of them have siblings in the high school. So that's we'll plan on right now, at least, picking back up here in a couple of weeks. Any other announcements? All right, let's go then to our prayer list. Ask that you continue to pray for Bill and Louise Barrett. Louise Barrett did have her stress test, I think, but she is not going to get results yet until a couple of weeks from now. But do pray for them. Darlene and Charlie Odom, I spoke with Charlie one day this week. They are still talking about another surgery on Darlene coming up sometime next week, so pray for them. Bertha Taylor called me this morning really to check on other people, but asked that we pray for them. Bertha's having medication problems, reactions there, and Elwood continues to have problems with his shoulder. And with everything going on, they're really not comfortable with going to the doctors and having those things corrected, unless it's just an absolute necessity. I mentioned Jim Kirker, and I mentioned Lori. Pray for them. Pray for Elsie Daniels and Nancy Barrett, both dealing with breast cancer. Pray for Liz Rowland. She's fine, as far as I can tell. Last we visited her, she seemed very frail. Have two people in two other countries I did want to mention. I'm sure you know about them by now. One is Haiti. Had a real bad earthquake there overnight. Devastating. Just a lot of people killed and injured and rescuing going on there. Such a terrible, poor country to begin with. And then on top of that, there seems to be a hurricane headed their way sometime later this week. And so pray for those folks at Haiti. Also pray for the Afghanistan people. As you know, the country of Afghanistan is falling to the Taliban taking it over. We, the United States, are evacuating the embassy, but those people who are there who have been our allies standing with us over the last, 20 years, I think it's been going on over there, they're in dire danger. So pray for them. Pray that something can be negotiated, that we can get some of those folks out, or they are given amnesty or something. My goodness, we can sure stir up a trouble. Devil can sure stir up a mess in the world, can't he? Nothing new. All we have to do is begin reading in the Bible in the book of Genesis. Then I have another prayer request that was handed to me this morning, and this comes from John and Clarice. Clarice's niece, Robert and Peggy Green. They live in Loosedale. Robert is in the hospital with several medical problems, and Peggy is recovering from COVID. Please pray for them. Robert is in the hospital in Mobile, and Peggy is at home recovering from COVID, and that's another family that is in dire straits, needs our prayers, okay? Robert and Peggy Green. Others you might want to mention this morning? It has reoccurred?
It did, about 5 years ago.
Okay, but Darlene, she's not doing well. Pray for Darlene. We're going to call her Husley. That was her maiden name. Anyway. That's how we know her. Let me put it that way. Maiden name was Hudson. Darlene Husley. She's the lady that you met in the Socher post office a few years back. And pray for her. She has children and grandchildren and a friend of ours that we keep in touch with. Pray for her. Unspoken requests. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we bring these requests from the bottom of our heart. Many of these people are family members and our church family members and very good friends and family of those who we know and love. And so we lift them up to you and intercede on their behalf. We pray for healing. On the behalf of those that are sick, especially we pray for Jim and Lori. We thank you for answering our prayers regarding Kim, others who are better. We pray for the people of Haiti and Afghanistan, the terrible things that are taking place there even now. Dear God, we pray for wisdom on the part of leaders around the world, what they might do in response. We thank you this morning for your many blessings, how merciful you are. Pour out your blessings upon us continually. And God, we recognize that. We thank you and we worship you because of it this morning. But we lift up all of these requests now in the name of our merciful and gracious sacrificial Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Brother John, whatever you've got for us to start off. Come and lead us.
There's a storm on the way.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come to worship you this morning. And as we gather jewels to place in our crowns, the ultimate goal of that is to lay our crowns at the foot of your throne because you are worthy. One of the reasons why we worship you, you are worthy of everything because you have created and sustained everything by the power and by your mercy and your grace. We come to worship you now, give to you our time. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
If you'll take your hymnals, turn to 139, Great is Thy Faithfulness. 139.
And Brother Charlie said, don't track it.
Right. That's easier said than done.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. One fifty-seven. The love of God. Now, this is a favorite of the Barretts, Bill and Louise Barrett. They've sung it, and they do. They've done great jobs with it. But we're going to sing it as our offertory hymn. I ask you to stand and remain standing for the offertory prayer, and after Brandy plays the offertory, Brother Charlie comes with our message.
Greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord, and we thank you for this day you've given us. We'd ask that you bless this offering we're about to take up, Father, to the furtherance of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much, Brandy, leading us in that time of time of worship. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 36, a message I've just entitled, picking up the title that is in our Bibles, The Wicked in Contrast with God's Mercy. The Wicked in Contrast with God's Mercy. Psalm 36. Give you just a moment to turn there. Psalm 36, beginning with verse 1. An oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. The words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Even on his bed he plots evil. He commits himself to a sinful course and does not reject what is wrong. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is a fountain of life. In your light we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. May the foot of the proud not come against me, not the hand of the wicked drive me away. See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I commit this message to you. I pray you'd help me to say what you'd have me to say. But by your Holy Spirit, teach us the truths that are here and how we might apply them in our lives. Today and every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Every person is required to make many decisions in life throughout a lifetime. If you lived as long as I have, you can look back and see that some of the decisions were not very wise. Wrong decisions that are made. Some seem to be right decisions. Some of them really even unconsciously made, but can credit only the Lord Jesus for his guidance in our lives. We made the right decisions at the right time. But there's no decision that we are called upon to make that is more important than to trust the Lord and to be an obedient follower of him. Psalm 36 makes a presentation to us that should make that decision easy, actually a no-brainer. If we look at this psalm and understand what it says. This psalm comes to us once again in three parts. I don't know, David must have been a preacher or something. He likes 3 points. Many of these psalms have come in 3 parts. But here again, it says that this was written for the director of music. And so, as with our hymns today, songs in David's day had different verses, had several verses. This would have came in the form of music in 3 verses. It comes written in 3 parts. The first being verse 1 and 4, the sinfulness of the wicked, and actually brings in the last verse, verse 12, telling us the result of that course. And then verse 5 through 9, the fullness of God's character. And then verse 10 and 11, the sincere, humble prayer of the believer. A model prayer for us to pray in response to what is presented about the sinfulness of the wicked and about the fullness of God's character. So we begin verses 1 through 4, sinfulness of the wicked. It begins with an oracle concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. It says, verse 1, an oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. And that is the inspiration for the whole rest of the psalm. In the Bible, in Scripture, an oracle is an authoritative pronouncement from the Lord, from God. David is one of the men that is considered a prophet. He's named in the New Testament as a prophet, David. And so this psalm, as all of the psalms, comes directly from the throne of God as an oracle, as an authoritative pronouncement from the Lord to us, to all of us. And David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says he has this oracle within his heart to write down concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. And then he begins. This is what we have here, word from the Lord, an oracle. Begins in the last part of verse 1 telling us that the sinfulness of the wicked is a direct result of there being no fear of God. That's a fearful statement, but it's very, very true. Last part of verse 1, there is no fear of God before his eyes, before the wicked's eyes. Unlike the English language, the Hebrew language has two totally different words for fear. One of them is a reverend respect of God that all believers should cherish and accept. That fear is a response to God's love. His character of who he is, a God of love, mercy, and grace. We fear him out of respect and reverence to him because of that. The second is a dread of God against sin and God's judgment against sin. Something that every person should tremble over. That fear is in response to God's anger. When you start reading in the book of Genesis and go through Revelations, we see clearly told us about God's love and mercy and grace. But we are also told of God's anger with sin. After all, it is sin. It was sin that sent his son Jesus Christ to the cross. And after all, it is sin that has caused so much misery and pain to the human race over the years since creation. The human race which God created in his own image, which God loved so much, but yet sin has brought misery after misery after misery, heartache after heartache after heartache. And God is angry about that. And brings punishment against sin. And that is the kind of fear that is talked about here. That there is no fear of God before their eyes. The wicked does not have this kind of fear of God before their eyes. But something is always before the eyes of every person, you know. It's either God or self. I got thinking about that, you know. Whatever we're thinking about, eyes is simply a word that is used to talk about our minds, what we're seeing, what we're thinking about. Anything other than God and godliness is self and selfishness. And without the fear of God before our eyes is self-flattery. The next verse goes on and says that. For in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his own sin. So there's no fear before his eyes. All there is flattery of himself before his eyes. Flattering self is thinking more highly than one ought to think of himself, which is false. Flattery of self is becoming more confident of self and what we are able to do than what we should. A terrible song was written back a number of years ago. I did it my way. I'll never forget when that song came out. That's a recipe for disaster right there. The world tells us that. Trust your own judgment. Do it your way. You can determine what's right and wrong. Jeremiah, I think it is, tells us, the prophet Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? So we cannot determine what is right or wrong. We're flattering ourselves beyond what we should when we think that. And without a fear of God before our eyes, then before our eyes, is flattering yourself. far too much confidence in ourselves. In the wicked, there's flattery. Self-confidence reaches to the point that they are unable to detect or hate his own sin. We get thinking too highly of ourselves. And it's just a matter of time we can't detect anymore what's sin and what's not sin because we're making up our own measuring stick. We're deciding for ourselves what's right and wrong. We don't detect, can't detect sin when it happens. We can't hate it because we're thinking that it's right. So much in the world that the world is telling us today is wrong. They're telling us it's right, but it's wrong. And because it's not a fear of God, but a flattery of ourselves, the human race brings this upon ourselves, we can't detect what's wrong.
That's right. Amen.
Can't detect, let alone hate sin. Such is the course of the wicked. And goes on then in verse 3 and 4. Being unable to detect and hate our own sin has many dire consequences, and some of them are listed. Next two verses. The words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. Truth begins to become unimportant. His words are wicked, deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Well, when you cease to be wise, that opens the door for a lot of foolish decisions. Cease to be wise and to do good. Verse 4, even on his bed he plots evil. Even at night when he's laying there waiting to go to sleep or wakes up in the middle of the night, he's thinking about what evil he might do to benefit himself because he's flattering himself, remember? Regardless of what it does to anyone else. Even on his bed he plots evil. Verse 4 goes on, says he commits himself to a sinful course in life. He commits himself to that. And he does not reject what is wrong. And when you don't reject what is wrong, what happens is you lead even those who you love the most to do wrong together with you. That's heartbreaking and something we see all too often. When someone who fits this description not only takes themselves but their entire family in the wrong, sinful course in life. And notice the end result of this sinful course told us in verse 12, the last verse of this psalm. See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. Prisons are full of them. Broken homes and conditions of heartache cry out as a result of this very thing. Enough of that. Following this oracle, we are told about the fullness of God's character and his mercy and how it affects those who faithfully follow him. Remember, we're talking about a decision making. Whether we will decide to follow, obediently follow the Lord or not. In beginning in verse 5, Psalm takes a change of direction. We're no longer receiving an oracle concerning the sinfulness of the wicked, but we are receiving the truth about the character and the mercy of God. Verse 5 through 9. Love, faithfulness, righteousness, and justice are four parts of God's character that are discussed here that are brought out. And that's just part of the character of God. There's much more to God than just these four. But in this case, in dealing with this subject, these are all important. Love, faithfulness, righteousness, and justice. That's God. That describes God. That God is love, God is faithful, God is righteous, and God is just.
Amen.
That's who he is. That's exactly who he is. His love and faithfulness is limitless as the heavens and the sky. Notice that verse, that song we sang a while ago, I think it's in the first verse. His love goes beyond the farthest star. Fits right into this verse. Verse 5, your love, O Lord, reaches the heavens. Your faithfulness to the sky. His love and faithfulness is endless. It's eternal. The only way I have ever been able to deal with the definition of eternity is going out at night and looking up into the sky, and as far as you can see, there are still those little specks that are stars and galaxies out there. And with all of the wisdom and power of man and science, I hadn't yet discovered where the end is. There's no end. Absolutely is no end there. And such is the description of God's love and faithfulness. It's limitless as the heavens and the skies. And his righteousness, first part of verse 6, your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, solid and unmovable. I've shared with you before, one of the things that still just stirs my blood is to go out across the plains of Kansas and Colorado, and all of a sudden, there's that ridge of Rocky Mountains rising up from the horizon. His righteousness is like that, is firm and unmovable. And those mountains just go on and on and on and on, don't they? His justice is as limitless and mysterious as the ocean's deep. And we're still today discovering deeper places of the ocean. I saw you may have too. Education Channel, I watch a lot. Sometimes it's the only place I can find anything. And to watch, it's not just a bunch of hollering and screaming and killing and carrying on. They'd strapped a camera to some kind of ray, and it suddenly dove deep, deeper than they knew existed anywhere in the ocean. That's amazing. That only the animals that go, the fishes that go that deep, know really how deep and limitless and mysterious the ocean depths really are. But that's a description of God's justice. One of my commentaries referenced Romans 11, 33 through 36. You don't have to turn there. Let me just read it to you. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to the Lord that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and forever. Amen. Oh, how great our God. So in contrast to the disastrous end of the wicked, which we read in verse 12, those who follow our Lord experience the priceless effects of his unending, endless character and mercy. Verse 7 begins to tell us about that. Look, if you will, beginning in verse 7. How priceless is your unfailing love. Verse 5 told us that his love reaches to the heavens. And now in verse 7 tells us how priceless is your unfailing love. That is applying it. How priceless is God's love to us. His mercy and his character of love is priceless. And the believer finds refuge in the shadow of his wings, verse 7 goes on. both high and low among men. It doesn't matter who they are, big shots or lowly people, no matter how high or how low among men, they're all able to find refuge in the shadow of his wings. In the shadow of his wings speaks to shade from the heat of life. Life sometimes is hot, other than temperature. Hot through stress, all kinds of things that we face. But we find refuge in the shadow of the wings of the Lord because of his priceless, unfailing, unending love for us. Goes on to talk in verse 8. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delight. Nourishment and refreshment are found in the house of the Lord. In the heavens, I'm reminded of the song, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul." We go to the Lord in prayer and we enter into his sanctuary through prayer, and we find there nourishment and refreshment for whatever we need in life. We're fed nourishment. We're refreshed by the drink of delight. The word delight here comes from the same Hebrew word, the Hebrew root for Eden, talked about in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. At creation, you remember, God created a garden, called it Garden of Eden. Garden of delight. It's perfect. Made just for Adam and Eve. Absolutely perfect. A garden of delights. But they sinned. Man sinned and lost Eden. But through faith in Christ, we have access into God's presence and can delight in his blessings. That's the idea that is brought forth in this verse, in this saying. We feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights, your river of Edens. And in verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. With the Lord, we find life and light. John chapter 8 and verse 12, we have recorded these words. It says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Hear that? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We will have light, the light that we need to live properly. And what does this psalm say? In your light we see light. And by the light of our Lord, we see light to live, not perish. Again, verse 12, see how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. But living in and under the character and the mercy and the grace of God, we're able to see the light of life and by his light find light to guide us in our lives. It's simple as that. After being given both sides of the equation here, we find that it is time for a sincere, humble prayer. And if up to this point in Psalm 36, if we haven't been humble of ourself, there's something wrong. And realize our inabilities. but our dependence on the Lord for everything in life that is good, especially in avoiding the slippery slope of destruction that sin brings. We're dependent on His mercy. And so in verse 10 and 11, we find that after giving to us both sides of the equation, it's time for sincere, humble prayer to the Lord and ask Him what is asked in these two verses. Continue your love, O Lord, to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. May the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. O Lord, have mercy on me, a mere sinner, a mere human, whom you are willing, more than willing, to guide and to give light by your unending, unfailing love and mercy and righteousness and justice. Teach us and keep us in that. So, in conclusion, the call is for personal responsibility to consciously obey God and serve Him. Will you choose to serve Him? There are two chapters in the book of Joshua. I'm not going to go there and read them. Lack of time for one thing, but I suggest that you go home and read Joshua chapter 23 and 24. They record the words, the message, the sermon, if you will, of God's servant Joshua to God's people before he dies. And in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, he says, "Choose for yourself whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." I pray that that is your decision. And in that decision comes the Eden, the delights of life, the peacefulness, the direction, the goodness of life, instead of pain and destruction and despair to the point of not being able to get up. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we worship you this morning because you are God, and because by your Holy Spirit and servants like this man David, you give to us, have preserved to us a good word. If we cannot make the proper decision after this psalm, dear Lord, we are certainly in deep, dire distress. But Heavenly Father, challenge us. Even as Christians, even if we have already determined and decided to follow Jesus and accept Him as our personal Savior, we meet, come upon hard times in life, decisions that we need to make, that we think we're able to make those decisions on our own. But Lord, even if we look back, we find out we're not always too capable of doing that. We need you to lead us and to guide us, help us. We confess that to you this morning, dear God. And we ask for your mercy, as the psalmist did in those last couple of verses that we looked at. And then help us to make the same decision that your servant Joshua made, even as he called out to the multitudes of your people at the time. It's up to you. Make the decision. They said, "Oh, yeah, oh, we'll follow the Lord. We'll follow the Lord." And then Joshua said, "No, you're not able to. You're already too full of sin." Woe be it, Lord, that that is our condition. and that we are still able to turn from sinfulness and to follow you consciously, obediently, every day in our life. And Lord, we close this service with that prayer from our hearts to you in Christ Jesus, the ultimate mediator on our behalf, who brings our prayers to your throne of grace and mercy. Amen. Stand with me, and we're going to sing a hymn. What's that hymn number, Don?
491. Jesus, I come.
Jesus, I come.
Back together again safely, and protect us and watch over us.